It's Tuesday night, November 17th.
Oh, Lord, by your Spirit, that your blessings of truth and discernment would be upon us tonight.
Amen.
That we would be able to recognize that which is not of you, O Lord. Recognize what's of you. Recognize what is not of you by your Spirit. And Lord, it's not our keen judgment that will do the job, O Lord. It's your Spirit. So, Lord, we ask that your Spirit would be present to divide. Divide wheat from the chaff. Divide truth from deception. Oh, that your Spirit would do that good work in amongst us tonight by your Spirit. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you.
I'm not making any promises of works.
All right. And let me know what I owe you for that.
Okay.
And, you know, itching ears, you know, but just because it sounds good doesn't mean we discount it on that account, you know. But it's saying what we, talking about a prophecy that was played here. It is in line with what we have been seeking, expecting, you know.
Yeah, and some of where my thing is, maybe it's just wordage. We've been seeking. I've been feeling like we're seeking truth in the Word of God. We're seeking to see the kingdom of God develop, and that. See, to me, that would come first, and that might benefit any other country or this country. But to me, the focus is, it's not...
national borders.
Yeah, it's the kingdom of God, you know, and it goes forth. And,
amen.
You know, I mean, this country, sure, it was developed on that, and that's, you know, and that was the whole backbone of the country. But it's kind of like, I kind of felt like this time it's going to be coming from within the Word of God, and God is kingdom, His truth, you know, and then it's going to go up. It's going to affect. And I don't, you know, like, I don't know where one city would stand out as the Mecca or anything. I mean, you know, other than Jerusalem or something, but.
You know, in a way, though. That kind of follows where God's been leading us, because we have come out of the "we're going to follow man" plan, and how badly that is, and to "we're going to follow God" and how good that'll be. And maybe the takeaway is it really, really doesn't matter who or where or how God chooses to do what He does. The big thing is that He does what He does, and that we recognize it and recognize it's Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, well, we have probably the biggest number of people that are outspoken about God and Jesus Christ of any nation in the world. I heard a fellow that said, I don't know who he was. He just that the free speech or the freedom, or the freedom for people to say what they want to say, should be removed from us. That was it, the First Amendment, such as free speech or whatever, and we're the only one of the only nations in the world that can get away with it. Then lock you up if you say what a lot of people say, you know, over here. And he said that it should be removed because that's our downfall. And I think, I don't think so. Because then they can, it's just like Switzerland. they don't. They could decide what you can say and what you can't say. And Walter Niederhauser, was told what he could preach, what he couldn't preach. And he preached what he wanted anyway, but he kind of lived a fear thing, because he had to preach the Trinity, and he couldn't preach anything else. He could not preach. He couldn't do any deliverances, which he did, and a lot of things that he was not allowed to do. That's not. We don't have anything like that over here. And
there is getting to be a little bit of that, but
there could be.
Well, there is some.
Yeah, there is some encroachment. That's true. That's right.
Yeah.
There is.
But, you know.
And it's not that we're God's thing. And I prayed. I said, Lord, you could find at least 10 righteous in this country. You know, you could find 10 in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you can't get a lot worse than they were. And you know what happened to me? When I saw Amy, whatever her name was, and I just saw her demeanor and her statements, and she put in on the Supreme Court, and I thought, if God could have found 10 Amys, he wouldn't have destroyed them.
Barrett.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And there's more than 10 Amys here. You know? There's a lot of righteous people in this country. Okay, so they don't have the revelation that they need yet and so forth, but you know what? That doesn't mean that just because we have some revelations that it puts us in some great place either.
Well, amen, because we don't have the revelations that we need yet.
No.
No.
How many revelations?
Every week we come away going, boy, I need more revelation. So
how many revelations are out there that we need?
Yeah, how many more? I don't know.
No.
That's true. On the other hand, there is a special blessing for whatever reason, a special blessing that we have received, and we must mm-hmm. not discount that.
Yeah.
You know?
See, and I don't doubt there. I mean, there's no doubt there has to be other little things like this throughout the country.
All over the country.
And when she said, you know, I've seen your repentance, it's like, well, only God's eyes can see some things, you know, because I haven't seen repentance in this country yet.
No, but she saw it through the Lord.
Yeah, and so I'm just saying that I don't know if that's actually occurred yet. It might be what's coming.
It might be in response to the Spirit of the Lord, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know. I haven't seen the repentance in myself.
Yeah.
Forget about the rest of the country.
Yeah. I mean, because that's one of the biggest things. That's really the first thing that has to happen. And it's an important thing if it happens, you know. Very important.
And we don't, you know, it's like I said that one day about tongues. When we speak in tongues, we don't know if we might be repentant.
Yes, when we're speaking in tongues. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't know what you're saying for sure.
And I have, you know, I look at myself sometimes and I think, maybe I am righteous. You know, the effectual prayers of a righteous man avail as much. And maybe I'm not. So what do you do about it? Yeah, your mind is pretty good, and you're on the Lord all day long. And I'm thinking, so am I righteous? And then, you know what? But I pray, and I do this constantly. I said, Lord, I want to have the prayers of the effectual prayers of a righteous man. but I don't know, really, you know if I'm righteous or not. So please, make me righteous so I can. You caused me to be righteous.
It's wouldn't it be a glorious thing if we found out that the praying in tongues that we did just did, it was such a wonderful prayer that it rendered us righteous?
Yeah.
Hey, and you know what? Part of it is, more than anything, I would love to see all those things happen in this country. It's just like, I don't want to get too into that, you know, and I guess I'm being a little, you know, afraid of being disappointed or whatever.
Well, let me say from my perspective, I believe that that's going to happen. I have believed that for a couple of years. And I believe that we are going to have a part of it. We're not going to be the kingpins or the great ones or nothing. I'm glad for that. But I believe that somewhere in this country, the power of God is going to fall. The thing is going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to see a revival like unlike anything we've ever seen. And you know who's going to bring it about?
God.
Not us.
I believe that too. I mean, that's not... I don't have any qualms about that God's going to move in this country.
But, you know, there are enemies. There are Antichrist enemies of Christ. Lots of them.
Oh, yeah.
All over the world. A lot of them right in this country. And God's going to take care of them. Mm-hmm. And I heard that in there. I knew it. And when I heard it in there, it was confirmation. You know what? You don't. There's a number of things you don't do. You don't oppose what God's doing in Israel.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You don't oppose that. And some people are. And it doesn't go good with God. He brought him back. Was it 1967 that he had at the head of
that war? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it did not work out well for the Arabs. In that
no.
War.
No, and it will not work out good for anybody that fights him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. That is the little thing that was said in that book that I read that grabbed me. To have the Spirit of the Lord work on me.
Restoration of the nation of Israel?
That they came back. And I can remember, evidently I must have heard something about it. Never really registered, you know. But all when I heard that, then from then on, I was attentive to whatever God was. And by the end, I was mm-hmm. born again, you know. Mm-hmm. But
well, it was a remarkable thing.
Yeah,
I mean, just a natural occurrence. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. Nothing in the modern day is like it.
No.
We've never seen anything like it.
No.
And you kind of know it. You know, God has his hand on the sons of Abraham, you know what I mean?
Going back to that prophecy, it is the United States of America has been made an idol by hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions, you know. And with that in mind, it's a little funny, not impossible, but a little funny that this prophecy should have a special blessing on the thing that has been made an idol by.
Yeah.
But that's not totally unlike God to be. Pulling his stuff, you know?
Yeah.
That's not totally unlike him.
Well, I don't know, but I know when I heard it, I cried all the way through it. Because I was looking at the girl she was talking to. You know, I had a bigger thing to see. But she was like looking at Amy in the one that was the justice, and look her in the face, it's like a pure, sweet, innocent, unbelievable experience. I don't know, but I tell you what, it did something for me. I needed it. You know, by the time I heard the whole thing, I thought, you know what, it would be just like God, because a lot of people have given up on this country. But we've got, you know, Franklin Graham and David Robeson, and they're still on TV. And some of the things that they say are profound. You know, they're not way out in left field someplace. You know the story? You remember the story of Jim Robertson?
I remember hearing it.
Yeah, he, I think his dad wanted him to be aborted because he never did ever find out who his dad was. His mother, she was a, you know, 18, 20 years old, she was raped. And out of it was born Jim Robertson. And, I think her dad wanted her to abort him.
Well, I think the mother gave serious consideration to do it.
Oh, was that it?
I think so. That's.
I can't remember a lot, but he came that close to being aborted. And out of it, he became one of the most unbelievable ministers. You know, we used to down here, him. Down in Texas.
Where did I heard him? I don't know, it wasn't in Texas. Where did I hear him? Where did we go to one of his conventions? And I think it was his conventions that we were dancing in the back. Because at that time we were really worshiping in the dance.
I did not do it. I wasn't.
Somewhere. Maybe it was in Kansas or somewhere like that. I don't know. I know I went somewhere and where he was having a convention type thing.
Yeah, wherever you were, I was there. As I remember dancing, you know, I don't know if I did, but I remember people dancing there.
Because I don't remember going all the way to Texas. So I don't know, it was somewhere in between. Somewhere.
Well, I went down to Texas to see him.
Oh, did you once?
Yeah, at least once.
Huh. Now, I got to really let the brain come back here with some memory. Where that was. Anyway. Well, and I'll admit that I'm at a little disadvantage because I certainly do not have the same prayer life.
Well.
So, you know.
Well, in the process of my prayers, It's kind of like Paul prayed for Israel. You know, I live in America. It has been a free nation. And when that guy said that what we need to do is abolish free speech, what is that? That's communism. That's what they had in it wasn't real bad in Switzerland. you can't preach everything the Bible says.
You know, you can't preach everything the Bible has to say in Canada either.
No.
There are ministers who have gotten in trouble with the law, maybe jailed or whatever.
Yep.
For merely expressing things consistent with the Bible.
Yeah.
The homosexuals and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's the one there where I think you could get in big trouble here right now.
Yeah.
Well, it case has gone to the Supreme Court, and the guy that wasn't willing to sell a wedding cake, and he won.
Oh, he did?
The baker won.
Hmm. Good. But I mean now, you could get branded so many other ways that you're life could probably be ruined, you know.
Yes, there are some, yes, that.
But, well,
but if you,
no matter how big a revival and what we had going on here, there's going to be opposition to it.
Right.
Right.
So, but it's still, it can be a great big move of God into America. Mm-hmm. And lots of people get saved. A lot of people from out of America get saved.
Yeah, I know. See, I hope you didn't take it that I don't see
no,
that.
No. No.
I see that part, definitely.
There's no way that you got 100%. If you got 5%, you're doing good.
Right. So that's, I guess, I must have, maybe it's possible it's my natural mind picking up on it. But, you know, to hear all the leaders are going to change and da da da. That to me, that's not a focal point for me.
You know? The thing that I really picked up on, God's going to get rid of the ones.
Well, yeah, that'd be great.
Well, I found it interesting that the media played so central a role in it. There was a purifying thing going on with the media.
And that right now, to me, would have to be an absolute miracle, because I can't see how that could happen.
Well, that was a heck of a bolt that came down.
Yeah, I know. But you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. I do.
How do you just... Well, God can do anything, you know?
Sure.
So.
Sure.
And that has been part of my prayer. Lord, if you will, all things are possible. You could do the unbelievable.
Yeah.
So help me to believe that you could do the unbelievable.
I have a little testimony, a change in the subject some maybe, but you know, with my cancer, we were forwarded healing scripture things online, you know. And, you know, okay, play them. And we played one, and yeah, it was nice. But it a little reminded me of putting a cross necklace, you know, a little magic thing going on. I was thinking, I don't know if I'm being fair. I mean, it's scripture. Yeah. But I that was the way I felt about it. Yeah. We did another one. And, oh, the Spirit of the Lord was just so glorious in those scriptures. It just lifted both Gene and me up in a, just a cool, you know. And it was scriptures, you know.
Yeah.
And it made me realize, you know, when the Spirit is on something, you don't think it's magic. You know this is the miracle working of the Holy Spirit going on. And there's different, you know. The other was not, you know. But it's a little along the line. No, there's nothing wrong with putting plaques up in your house. But sometimes there's a little, hey, what's the difference between this and magic? You know. But this, oh my, it was just so... So really good. Anyway.
Well, praise God.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Praise God that those scriptures, which you probably have seen and heard.
Oh yeah.
Multiple times. Mm-hmm. But this time,
yes,
God chose to bless them and let them impact you.
Yeah, it was, and I don't, you know, because the other was too. I don't know, both scriptures. Well, you know, one of them. One of the healing scriptures that we were supposed to be encouraged by was Jesus touching the ear of Malchus. But, well, I'm encouraged by the fact that one of his disciples chopped this guy's ear off and Jesus put it back on. But anyway.
Well, you know, the healing scriptures that we have, the promises in the Bible, are not maybe. They're all yea. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It doesn't leave room for something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the problem is the believer part.
Yeah. You know? Just that. So, and yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe I don't know how clear my situation is. The it's stage 4 cancer that I have, meaning it has spread.
Oh.
You know. And the doctor said, on average, people have 3 to 5 years in that when that happens. Yeah. Now, there's that says you're going to be the average, and hey, you know, generally my health is good. But I, hey, this is a real good opportunity for the Spirit of the Lord to come and do some a work of healing, mm-hmm. you know. And I have an expectation of that, and I have a fair amount of writing on that too. You know, a lot of times people don't, you know, oh well, yeah, I'm healing. You know, well, in my case, no, it's I got something writing on this deal.
Yeah,
you know, not that I told the doctor, death has no terror for me. I expect to go to heaven. But,
you know, I
doctors don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
He was well, for, you know, it was goofy. I told him, you know, I'll be praying about this thing, you know. And he thought that was great because therapeutically, if people can maintain their hope, that's good for it. You know, it was a weird.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. It invoked a little more level of compassion in me when you shared that you'd been diagnosed, mm-hmm. and it was genuine. I knew it was something the Lord had done, you know, to help. And it's like I just you're my brother, you know. And I prayed and I want to pray and you know and it's. It's a good thing,
mm-hmm.
you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Because I shared Sunday that, you know, the body of Christ isn't just some big old flimsy thing, you know.
Yeah.
The body of Christ is people who are truly of Christ, know who He is. Eventually, maybe some don't know yet because the whole body hasn't been really put together probably, but within it I know that this little group is the body of Christ. It's not the whole body of Christ, but that, so to me now more and more it's being ingrained in me, that is my priority over everything else. That's who I should want to die for. You know. I mean, or give my life, if, or whatever. Yeah.
If the body of Christ means the body of Christ, then yes, there's a lot of significance.
Which means have nothing to do with politics or anything else. If we're believers, we're brethren. And that should be the utmost in our life, you know. I mean, we're in all levels of that still. And I am too, you know. But I could see where, you know, because when Peter talks and stuff, it's like, love. Love your brethren. And Jesus says, if you love me, then you keep my commandments. And if you love your brethren, you're keeping God, you know, the commandments, mm-hmm. and whatever. You're being a part of God, you know.
We perhaps have not reached the point where we are fitly joined where every joint supply. You know,
right.
we haven't pulled together in that perfect body.
And,
but there's a formation there.
And we won't have it completely here because this isn't the whole body is out there.
We're more members than this.
We have to be fitly joined to all the true body of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think that's what's gonna get raised up. When God has this move that He's going to do in this country, is you're going to all of a sudden start, you'll recognize by the Spirit those that are the body of Christ. And you know that you've got some in other countries and everything else too, you know. And that's going to be a powerful thing. I mean.
Yeah. And then another thing, not all of the body is going to believe accurately. There'll be parts of the body that don't have the same revelations. And because they haven't taught stuff since they were kids that were wrong. And it's hard to get, you know, you can take a boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy.
Uh-huh.
You can't take some of these things out of them. It takes a miracle. And so, I mean, God has to do something in them. Right now, there are people that believe some strange things that are still really sweethearts.
Yeah, but see, that's the miracle I see God doing is,
uh-huh.
is bringing them all in. It says that we are to be of one mind.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think, and God can do that. And I think that's supposed to happen before we go to heaven.
Uh-huh.
I mean, before it ends, I should say.
Yeah.
Before end times, not just us.
Yeah.
Some of us might go ahead of time, but, you know, or whatever. But that has to happen before the end. I mean,
somehow, God has to have a way of evaluating the heart of the individual that cuts above what the Holy Spirit has or has not given them to unify.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so. But, you know, as Keith was sharing what he was sharing about there being people that just haven't had the benefit of...
Right.
It occurs to me, if it truly is a body, like a human body, and Paul certainly makes it sound like that, and there in 1 Corinthians, one member, you know, and so forth, then maybe the revelation that we have received is going to have, you know, you get a part of the body that's infected and sick. The remainder of the body responds to it, heals it, does a work of healing, you know, from in the natural I'm talking about. And maybe in that same kind of way, we will be able to provide some kind of truth, whatever, you know, and to make up the difference.
Some may have something for us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciple. So, but if they continue in his word and they have preconceived ideas, they're still his disciple, even if they don't have, if the truth don't come out as yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, so, what happens? Okay, so Keith Gunn continues in his word. Keith Gunn gets a relationship with Jesus that he's never had. In the process of it, he starts getting revelations, major ones. He starts knowing the truth, and the truth starts making him free. The truth that you guys have gotten hasn't made you free.
Yeah.
So, don't anybody argue with me about the humanity of Christ.
Huh.
I might not argue back with them, but don't argue with me because I don't need. I don't.
Sure.
It has reached a point of knowledge. The knowledge of the truth. You know, that's what it says in 1 Timothy, that God wants people to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Well, what is the knowledge of the truth? There's one God. John 17:3. That they believe in you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Okay? So we get these things, and we get the knowledge of it, and we fulfill a first the reason you fulfill 1 Timothy 2, 4, and 5, when you understand that there's one God, and there's we start getting the man Christ Jesus. You know what I mean? That's a fulfillment of it. And that does something to you. And it makes you free. It wouldn't matter who told me anything about the Trinity. Nobody's going to get me to believe it. You can't make me believe it. Because the Scripture has convinced me totally of something else. And so anyway, but it's not that everybody else is going to grab it. You know, just like I tried a little bit on the prayer group, and it doesn't work real good. Mm-hmm. So I just drop it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing too good in some other areas, and so.
I came across an interesting verse in James that kind of fits what you're saying. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle. And here's what caught me. Willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Willing to yield, that really caught me. Because you always feel like you got to stand firm, mm-hmm. you know? But there's like, and I think that's what you're bringing.
But if you know the truth, you don't have to.
No, but you're saying, yield a little bit, give them time.
Yeah.
You know, to receive.
Yeah.
You know, be peaceable and gentle.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. Don't be forceful. Willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits.
Yeah. And that is not the way.
And that's not who I was.
No, it's not who I've been.
You've got to be able to stand firm. You know,
yeah.
In yourself.
In yourself.
Just in yourself.
Right.
So that way you're at a place to reveal some more to them through the scriptures when the time comes.
Yeah.
And believe me, the time will come. God will make it. He'll make it a possibility.
And just so that, and I got to be careful how I say that, just so that Keith isn't alone, there ain't nobody going to talk me into the Trinity either.
No.
You know, absolutely no way.
No.
But perhaps a show of yielding might be appropriate in the right situation.
Well, now that I've read that, I have to have that kind of in the resume, you know, I mean, or in the reserve, you know, and be careful, you know, and peaceful and gentle. And
it kind of goes along. I mean, don't stumble your brother.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
there's a lot of other scriptures that kind of put across the same thing.
Yeah. I think maybe what's really the takeaway from that is, because it is so contrary. I mean, if you want to try and be bringing truth, and you know you're not hearing truth, you can yield.
Yeah.
Because I think doing that is actually following what Scripture tells us is most important. You're showing love.
Yeah. And you know, if you present it, and you get a kind of it, then just yield, pull back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't keep trying to force it.
Otherwise, your ego is so a part of it all.
Right.
Oh, my Lord. You're working on
it. It's really important to get them to get right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And God showed me what is right. So, you know, and just my passion and love for you, you got to get it right. Otherwise, you're lost.
Oh, little different definition of love.
Exactly. But I mean, see how easy it is to be twisted, though.
Yeah, right.
It's only because I love you.
That's so true. You know, it says bring the truth in love.
Exactly.
I mean, but, and you can really take that and use it however you want, almost, thinking you're doing it in love. But if that's the case, then you really don't understand the love it's talking about.
You know, it's funny, though, because there is a place, you can be anointed, but emphatic. which is a little different from hard and rigid. But
yeah,
but
right.
You can most definitely be emphatic.
You can be anointed with, and it will be authority.
Yeah,
from
right.
God.
Uh-huh.
I know a couple times I felt that I've experienced that.
Uh-huh.
You know, where it was just, you know.
Right, authority.
Yeah. I was emphatic about it, and I felt, you know, authority mm-hmm. that it's true.
Yeah.
Tuesday morning, or Sunday morning, I went over to Brittany's with Justin, or with Justin, Curtis.
Sunday,
and
Sunday afternoon.
What's his dad's name?
Rich.
Rich? Okay.
Rich. Curtis, Rich.
Yeah. I went over to their house, and Curtis and Rich both were dumbfounded at the understanding of Ken Betcher.
Yeah, what'd you say, Ken?
I don't know what I say.
Whatever you said, really registered. And it was good. I was listening to it, and I thought, I don't have nothing. But anyway, what you said was profound as far as they were concerned. And they kept a number of times, Curtis especially, was saying something about it. And his dad, I mean, they're not familiar with having a service of anything like we had there. It's brand new.
There was a point when I was sharing something, and I was looking in that direction, and it was like I knew they were attentive.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it had, it well, I, and I was kind of thinking about it, like, you know, like you had certain scriptures about faith, and now I got to remember where it was, but I was also, I was saying that, you know, I think in all of that, saying that about the brethren, you know, I shared that same thing about the brethren and everything, and that
sure.
nothing else, politics or anything else or way of life or whatever should come over that, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then the fact of, there was some stuff on faith. Mm-hmm. And it said, that was the one. Or no, did I share that Sunday night? Did I share that Sunday morning?
I don't know, whatever it was.
Anyway, I don't know.
it really registered with
them. I remember, you know, you have an experience at church. And it is kind of a holy show. And you know, okay, you tolerate it, you know, it's what church is like, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you really are not expecting truth, you know, brought as truth. That is, you would just, that's not what the deal is at church. It's this holy tone stuff, you know.
And you know, you were the catalyst. Because I think it was either Saturday night or something. I was in bed or whenever, I don't know. But all of a sudden, this prayer came, and I thought, I'm going to open with prayer Sunday morning. You know? But, you know, it changed by then a little. But actually, that prayer more or less came out through the service. And it was, because it was what I was experiencing and praying for you and just there was some faith. I got a little more bump of faith, you know, stuff. And so
I it's a little weird, but I think my case of cancer has an anointing on it. I went to the dentist today, and when he wrapped up, he said, there was a time that my father-in-law just had a stroke, and you prayed for him. You prayed with me for him. I didn't remember doing that, but he said, you know, and he remembered it. He said, I don't do as much praying as I should do, but I'm going to pray for you. You know.
Wow.
Yeah, and there was my dentist, you know.
I you know, one of, I know what one of the things was, is it was like, and I think I did kind of share that Sunday, that, you know, I said, oh, yeah, maybe I was just in that little short opening part of prayer. Corky kind of put me on the spot, which was okay. Because I had a thing, and then after I got there, I kind of went, well, I don't think I got it, you know.
I believe I asked if you had anything.
Yeah.
I don't know about on the spot. And the funny part was, well, you kind of did.
Well, yeah. So anyway, you know, it was like, I said, if we went around the room, I think everybody just about believes they have a call in their life. Now, and I emphasize that when God had given us all that he has up to this point, which is not everything, but it's been a lot compared to what it was, would he do that and just have it come of nothing? Like, I know you, I think you know that you probably haven't done what you think God wants you to do yet. Mm-hmm, right. I don't think I have, you know.
Yep, right.
And I don't know about anybody else, but so I said, so that in itself releases a faith to believe. Well, and I said, and you know what? He may not cure him of cancer, but he may keep him in it and be still effective.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, kind of?
Mm-hmm, yeah, right.
I mean, you know, look at how long he kept Jerome. My goodness. And he wasn't always feeling great all the time, I'm sure. I'm sure he was physically suffering a lot of the time. Yeah. But he was mightily used, you know.
Yeah.
And then he was brought back from the dead a couple times. So, I mean, you know. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, if the Lord can use me with cancer, you know, and indeed use the cancer, say, hey, look, I've got stage 4 prostate cancer. Nonetheless, you know, if there might be ways you could be effective that a well person couldn't be. That would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to pray that you get healed, but
yeah, right. But
that it would be God, or that He shows
or whatever,
different.
Whatever,
yeah,
or
but
healing later. Or
yeah, whatever. But we shouldn't. I wouldn't want to rule that out in me. You know, really, because you just don't know.
No.
I mean, obviously, Timothy had some problems. Paul had problems. Paul always
Paul
had problems.
Paul was the one I was thinking of. I mean, Paul basically was given the affliction, and God said, yeah, you're going to keep it. And then he kept Paul with the affliction,
and
look what Paul did.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, he was just God's servant, and Paul said, so.
And the affliction never did him in.
Right.
You know?
Why?
Pardon me?
And why?
Because that's what God wanted.
Was,
and he used him.
That he would be exalted.
Oh, well, right. Right. To kind of keep him humble. That's right.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
and you know
good
what?
Point, that's right.
And it had to be within himself.
Mm-hmm.
Lest he would be exalted in his own mind.
Yeah.
Lest you be exalted.
Yeah. Well, there's been a couple passages where it kind of slipped just a little.
Yeah.
So there's a little resume recounting there. They go, yeah, you're pretty good there, Paul.
Well, I think if I ended up seeing the third heavens and everything else, I think God would probably have to make me just about a 98% paraplegic to keep me humble.
To keep you well grounded. You know, I think the kind is eliminating you for that opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Although, God's not done on you, brother, and so there's a work to be done.
For sure.
He may only take you to the second heaven.
Yeah. You might start up and go, I don't think you're ready.
I
recall, I was thinking about Sunday, and Curtis came over and made a comment to me, and then he turned around and made a comment to you. They were really impacted. I know they were impacted with service. No. And I was sort of thinking, well, we were going on, because we were, you know, we were short some of the team, and so there was times when you clearly would have interjected and added to the cake, as it were. And I was thinking, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but I thought, you know, what you were kind of going over and sharing was pretty much a lot of the things that we had, conclusions, you know, God had shown us. And I just thought you were bringing it in a way where those that aren't in these meetings hadn't heard. And so I don't want to say, oh, yeah. But I didn't go away like, you know, because occasionally, you know, God gives something to somebody and we go, oh, I hadn't seen that, or that's good, or that's fresh. You know, we kind of, then we start flipping back and forth in the pages a little bit harder. But what I felt was, it was just really good in the sense that, you know, and we were in Ephesians a lot Sunday. We were talking about the faith they had, and so.
Yeah, you know, that's something that I really want to keep in me, that no matter how, because we have gone over it 1,000 times, the first time to somebody else, it's like brand new.
Yes.
And okay. Just can be so godly.
Pure,
you know?
Gold, man of
heaven. So just to start out by, you know, you got to remember to go back to some of the basics of just hear the word of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
You know, and build on that. And then, you know, because that's how we started. That's how God got us, you know.
Yeah.
And you can't, you know, even though we get into some of these, you might say, seems like deeper truths, which I don't know, you still got to be able to go back and relate to the person that's just beginning, you know.
Yeah, that's, I totally agree. That's why every now and then I just kind of sit through and go through the 10 things.
Yeah, you do that quite often. Yeah. You
we got to repent. I mean, first thing Jesus said was repent. We got to repent, no intellect, like little children, you know, stay humble, you know, in love, you know, and make that the cornerstone. Because once you slide off of that, boy, the foundation gets slippery.
And I don't have any big problem with repeating, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, we need it for ourselves.
Yeah, we do.
Because we're human.
Yeah, we tend to forget.
We're fraught with memory issues. I mean,
yeah. But
I think it's important to highlight, because, I mean, we can't get to where we all want to go if we don't keep the, you know, like the 10 basic things. You know, not that the Spirit can't overcome that, but I don't want to make it any more difficult. As much as I am the problem, I don't want to be.
You're the problem.
I know I am, but no. I don't want to be. My heart is not to be the problem.
I get you part way.
Yeah. My heart?
I'm sorry.
No. It's fair.
You know?
It's fair. I mean, I know that's exactly true.
So Jesus says, if you continue in my word, what's he talking about?
Continuing in his word?
I think he's talking about the Bible.
No, but who's he talking to?
I think he's talking to all of us.
He's talking to you.
Yeah. Right. He's talking to me.
He's talking to me.
Yeah, I said, I think he's
but
going to everyone.
He's not talking to them guys.
Yeah. Well, fair enough.
Well, are you following him,
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, it got recorded in the Bible, so I guess he's talking to me.
He's talking to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you continue my word, then you're my disciple. And you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free.
Yeah.
But what about them guys?
Well, I guess
work out your own salvation and fear and trembling.
Are you following me?
Yeah, I am.
Sure.
The emphasis is you.
Individual thing, huh?
And so you know the truth. And the truth makes you free. Now what you need to do is convince all the rest of the guys about that, so they're free too. You can't do it.
Well, not alone.
The Lord has to do that, so what you do is you rejoice in the truth that you got. And you try your best to preach it, whatever, and the chances are they won't get it. The chances are they won't get it the second time, and the chances are they won't get it the fourth time.
But they do tend to listen more if there's a miracle. So Brother Charlie is going to survive or overcome this cancer, and when he says it, they're going to listen more because he's overcome.
Yeah, I've been told I have an incurable condition. Okay, well.
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of like that.
That was Jerome's problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because
God really could use all those.
Pam was stage four when she found out.
Yeah, no, the idea, the prospect of bewildering doctors, you know, that's.
Yeah, they don't like, they'd rather have you die.
I think they want to have you linger on for quite a while, though.
Yeah.
So you make more money.
I mean, you're not much of a revenue source if you're dead.
Oh, they love to give them treatments.
Yeah, right.
The doctor, well, I got the prognosis and I want you to die. No. I don't think you can get a lot of them that do go, oh, yeah, that's right. That's where we're at.
But if they can't do the healing, then they just assume you died. Because
well, you don't want to upset their. I mean, you don't want to. They've got charts, you know.
Drug companies get mad when their stuff doesn't work.
I'm just being stupid. But.
Well, it is true. You have a system, and the systems are all designed to keep on going with some predictable results. And
yeah,
you know.
And then something else I've been wanting to say here for the last half hour or so. When we got into deliverance, we learned something that we forget a lot of times when we're doing other things. And your example was one of the better ones. We prayed for you for 7 hours. Yeah. For 7 hours for deliverance. And your body, you shook like a leaf until you wore people out. And there's no way that you could do it within yourself. And when I asked you, I said, you asked me, you said, well, how do I know this is a demon? And I said, well, if it's not, then stop it. Well, I couldn't anytime I want to. Well, then what did you decide to and don't do it? Well, I could if I wanted to. And it's like, here was this illogical logic. But that's not the point. The point is, we prayed for 7 hours. We used to do that.
Yeah.
We prayed until the thing was gone. We don't do that healing.
Yeah. Well, we were all younger then, but anyway. But
yeah. Well, we're still.
Yeah. You know, I've rebuked a spirit of cancer myself and got a reaction. You know. Yeah. There's a demonic element to it.
Yeah. Just lately?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, within the last couple days.
Well, I got, there was a spirit in me. I don't even, every so often I can still feel it. It's right here. Yeah. But it's a demon. I know it's a demon spirit. And, sometimes it'll irritate me, and sometimes most of the time it don't. And it's like it comes, it goes, it comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think what we have to start getting the idea of it's kind of like. I think almost any sickness is demon inspired. Like that spirit or that cancer, it's a spirit. And get him out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Well, are you guys at a kind of a in between spot?
Yes.
I'd like to just emphasize what I shared Sunday night for the tape, maybe, that was in Ephesians. And it was like, we read this all the time, and I've read it, we're so accustomed to everything that follows one particular area in the sentence for this verse. And it's
What chapter?
It's in chapter 6 of Ephesians. And I'll start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor that you may be able. Now, I left something out there because I always just thought, yeah, the armor. I know what the armor. I want the armor. But what jumped out at me when I heard it the last time, put on the whole armor of God.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden, it just, you know, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then it lists, you know, what we always talk about, everything, you know, especially the sword of the Spirit. But that just impacted me that this is God's armor for us. You know, it's not just Paul's or somebody's. It's God's armor, you know. And if you read then, it just had a different effect on me, you know. That this is something that he has given to stand against the enemy, you know. Mostly against the enemy. It's also meant to other things. But,
yeah.
And it says the whole armor of God.
Well, the question, or what I get out of that is, I can put on armor and that's good.
Yeah.
And I feel better. How much better do I feel when I put on God's armor?
Yeah.
Which I know to be perfect.
Right. I mean, that's what never struck me before was, you know.
Yeah, it's, the big thing is not the armor, it's the God.
Or to look at the way God is protecting you.
Yeah.
Right. And he kind of says, this is what this is for.
Yeah.
And he's protecting you.
Here, I'm going to give you this if you'll accept it, and this will protect you.
He does call for us to put it on, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We have a role on this deal.
Not without a requirement. That's right.
Yeah. Saul wanted David to put on his armor.
David.
And David said, no thanks. You don't put on the armor of man.
No.
It was too big anyway.
Yeah.
Well, it would have messed up his throwing action.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
It really would have watered down that whole miracle thing, too.
I'm sure he was a good shot, but I don't know that he was that good of a shot.
Yeah.
He just hits that giant right between the eyes and knocked him out and went anywhere now, or grabbed the sword of the giant and cut his head off.
Right.
They had some bloody times in those days.
Different deal.
Yeah.
It sure put the Philistines to the run.
Yeah. Yeah. They counted on their champion there. And why wouldn't you? Up 8 feet tall?
Yeah, he's a
big guy.
Big guy.
And I doubt if David was 6.
I don't think he was.
I think he was probably like 5'8" or 9".
Yeah.
Well, he's just a kid. I don't know.
He was a boy.
Whatever.
And then I'm sure that he was holding a shield that probably was almost as big as David, you know.
Sure.
And a sword.
Sure.
That rock compliance of Fancy David, he couldn't see it.
Yeah.
All right.
It's funny. I think is so unique or effective way of when I was watching some Viking stuff. And whenever they'd come up against an army, you know, they always carried a shield. And they either had an axe or a hatchet type, or a sword. And, but they always had their shields. And a lot of times they would back in and form a thing. But if they were coming and all of a sudden they saw archers, And then they saw him like, oh, they'd give the command and they'd drop down and they'd all be behind the shield and they'd just go thump, 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 thump. Every once in a while one would sneak through and catch somebody. But, you know, it was so effective to put them shields up. That was like their wall, you know.
Yeah.
Leave the machine. I'll try it again.
Okay. Well, we love you all.